Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the big Trump administration federal budget proposal came out earlier this week, and it was quite a doozy. Really tremendous budget proposal when it comes to American history and the idea that really starting to get at some of the social programs, arts programs, other places, and instead of just sort of, you know, maybe starting the plan to defund or taking away or giving cuts. I mean, we say cuts. These are massive, massive changes to the way government works. Some areas, the National Endowment for the Arts being one, just scrapped entirely. The idea of just gutting the budget. What does that mean for the state of Illinois? But also, what does it mean for politics in the state of Illinois? Because what this budget really is about, it's about pushing the emphasis of being able to take care of social programs, arts programs, other things to the state level. And that may work in 49 other states, but maybe not so much in the state of Illinois when it comes to what's happening in Springfield with our issues over balancing our own budget. On the line with me now, Will Guzzardi. He's a Democrat state representative from 39th District. He joins us regularly here in the download. Representative Guzzardi, good to talk to you.
Justin, it's great to be back on the show.
So let me ask you about that. I mean, that's I'm interested in what your thought is on the idea that really this federal budget is saying, you know what, we need to push this down to the state level. Do you feel more pressure as a lawmaker in Springfield to get a balanced budget done in the face of what's happening at the federal level?
I'm not sure there's much more pressure we could feel than we're already feeling from the, you know, the crisis in the state budget has had enormous human impact on the people who we represent. But this budget that Donald Trump is proposing is going to double down on that impact. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people who supported Trump as a candidate were expecting really something new and revolutionary from him. But he's going back to sort of old school Republican mantra of spend a whole heck of a lot of our money on planes and military equipment and cut funding for services and people who need it. And, you know, it's just old school 90s era Republican stuff. And I got to imagine that a lot of his supporters are going to be disappointed, not to mention those of us who care about the programs that he's proposing to gut.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it seems to be, I was reading a bunch of thought pieces about the budget, and you're right. I mean, it doesn't necessarily it doesn't earn the sort of praise of the libertarians among us or the conservatives even. This is a straight sort of red state Republican budget. And it also is viewed as sort of like a poke in the eye to the blue states. This is really just sort of like political payback. Do you see it that way? Do you see it as a Democratic representative in a blue state? Do you see it as sort of to the winners go the spoils?
You know, maybe the president is trying to send a political message here. But I mean, what this budget is, it's not a poke in the eye to blue states. It's a poke in the eye to the elderly. It's a poke in the eye to our children in public education. It's a poke in the eye to people who rely on Meals on Wheels. You know, it's a poke in the eye to people who need government to help them get by, to the sick, to the disabled, to the elderly, to our children. So, you know, if the president is trying to score political points, so be it. But he's going to hurt a whole lot of people in the process.
Well, what do you say as someone who, you know, has been in Springfield for a couple of years now, the concept of, you know, this really being what a Republican representative or administration or president or anyone with the political leanings that are a little bit more conservative, they're praising this. They believe in the idea right. That, you know what, we shouldn't be paying for Big Bird. We shouldn't be paying for arts. We need to get to a point right. Where if you got to be able to survive on your own, and we're not going to be doing these handouts anymore. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is it's incredibly callous. And, you know, frankly, this is not that different from what Governor Rauner came in and proposed in here in Illinois. You know, if Governor Rauner could have spent money on planes and tanks, maybe he would have. But everything else is just the same. You know, cut services to people who need them, make it harder for working families to get by. And, you know, while we're at it, throw in hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the very wealthy, as Trump is doing. Or in Rauner's case, it's only billions because the Illinois budget's a little smaller. But, you know, massive tax breaks to the very rich, huge corporate loopholes, and the rest of us can go take a hike.
There's something to be said about it. And I did recognize this as well, you know, sort of pivoting to another part of the budget, that this is just the discretionary spending part of the federal budget. There's other places, mm-hmm. Social Security and healthcare and other things that are growing, and it's going to, we're not paying down the debt. We're not actually making government shrink. There's just an ideology switch. And when you hear that or see the budget, and you also live it with what's happening in the state of Illinois, how do you, as a Democratic representative, how do you find a common ground when ideology plays out more than sort of numbers on a spreadsheet?
Well, listen, I mean, I think at the end of the day, most of my Republican colleagues in Springfield, you know, the governor's maybe a different animal, but most of my colleagues share a lot of my same values. You know, they believe in the importance of education for children, starting at birth and all the way through college. You know, they believe in the importance of caring for the elderly, caring for people when they fall ill. They believe in the importance of making sure that, you know, a hard day's work is rewarded with decent wages. So I think there's a lot more common ground among the parties than people think. But, you know, hardcore ideologues like Governor Rauner or I don't even know how to describe President Trump, because sometimes he seems like a hardcore ideologue and sometimes he seems like he's just pulling things out of thin air. Anyway, you know, we have to call out the fact that they're not speaking to the mainstream values that Republicans and Democrats alike all share. These guys are on the fringe talking about changes that will harm the core values, public education, public welfare, decent health care for people who need it, those core values that we all really share.
Let me ask you the same thing I asked Karen Lewis, though. This is, I mean, there, we all can agree that in some cases, a lot of these programs that were brought in by the federal government and state government were to take on poverty and some of the stuff that happened in the 60s to have federal programs to take on. There's an argument, I think, that it's shared by Republicans and Democrats that you have seen many times over that it hasn't worked. And I was talking to Karen about the idea that, you know, possibly public education may be broke. Now, I'm not saying that the way that the proposals that Governor Rauner or President Trump or Speaker Madigan are putting forth to change it are the best way forward. But we all can agree that maybe staying with what is happening in our country might not be the right course of action.
Yeah, listen, I understand that. And things feel pretty profoundly broken right now. But, you know, public education really did work in this country. I mean, and around the world, you know, the idea that everybody should be able to have access to basic education has lifted billions of people on this planet out of poverty. It's created, you know, widespread literacy rates, and it's really changed the face of human society. And now the reason public education isn't working now here in America, it's not because all of a sudden that idea failed. It's because we've been systematically disinvesting from public education. And now we say, oh, look, it's not working. Well, yeah, once you cut it and cut it and cut it until there's nothing left, all of a sudden you say it's not working. Like, whose fault is that? It's not the fault of public education as an idea. I think we have to invest in those things that help everyone in our society. You have to, you know, I mean, I could go on a whole rant about college affordability. We'll maybe do that later in the program. But, you know, people believe in the public good, and we got to stand up for it.
Yeah. Representative Will Guzzardi is on the line with me. He's a Democrat from the 39th District, represents parts of the north, I say west side, west, northwest side areas, Logan Square, and so in Chicago. Let's talk about the EPA. This is one, I mean, we start getting into the specifics, but the EPA, there have been, you know, workers from the EPA here in Chicago who have protested in the last couple of weeks, but the cuts that came up in the budget proposal were really the same kind of concept that one in five people who work for the EPA will be let go, especially when it comes to the state of Illinois, the Great Lakes. What's at stake when it comes to EPA cuts? What does the state of Illinois lose when an administration wants to shrink the size of that agency?
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example of how this budget and the sort of Trump-Rauner agenda is out of step with values that people across the political spectrum share. We all believe that polluting corporations shouldn't have the right to poison our air and water. That is a widely held belief. And I tell you, a lot of the people who live in what people think of as, you know, Trump's America are the same folks who can light their tap water on fire because of the poison that's been introduced into the water table, right? Americans rely profoundly on government regulation of out-of-control corporations for our basic health and welfare. And, you know, slashing the EPA isn't some gotcha to the Democrats. It's a way to poison the American people and allow big corporations to make a you know, extra profit in doing so.
But Will, they'll come back. The Republican governors and presidents and lawmakers will come back and say they believe in those values. They just think that the way that we're approaching it with the Environmental Protection Agency and the way it's set up is inefficient.
Well, I tell you, I mean, I can't. It's hard for me to believe the argument that the regulations that are currently in place are too onerous on companies like, you know, BP and ExxonMobil, who are making multi-gazillion dollar profits every year. I don't think our regulations are really slowing them down too bad.
Yeah. All right. My last question, and this is an interesting one because this is something that you put out. This is, you're sponsoring the bill to make the minimum wage $15 an hour here in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in this because, you know, this goes, I feel like reading about it, which, you know, this is a big push for you, and it's something that that you really want to put back on the table. It goes almost hand in hand, step in step, with the Trump administration saying, you know, we want to give this back to the people, we want to give it to the state. I mean, there's a way to almost connect those two things, because your concept is we can get rid of entitlements and get rid of sort of handouts, quote unquote, if we give the people more money.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people talk about $15 an hour like it's some sort of, you know, generous blessing of a salary that someone might earn. $15 an hour, if you do the math, if you work 40 hours a week, which most people who work low-wage jobs don't get that many hours, but if you work 40 hours a week, that's $30,000 a year. And that's not enough to get by in Chicago, and it's not enough to get by in a lot of other communities in Illinois, in Rockford and Carbondale and Danville. That's as a single person, let alone imagine that you're raising a family. You know, I think there's other misconception that, oh, minimum wage jobs are for high school kids, you know, right, in the summer break. A whole lot of these folks are, you know, raising families on their own. So, yes, what we want to do, we don't, you know, we want people to be able to work a decent job for a decent amount of time and have enough money in their pocket to take care of their family and not have to rely on government programs. That's the idea here.
This issue is very similar to what we were just talking about finding that mainstream value. Where it doesn't matter about politics. We all believe in that we should get paid a living wage or a fair wage. Who's in opposition of raising the minimum wage in the state of Illinois? Is it the governor? Is it business interests? Who doesn't want it to go from, what is it, $9 now to $15?
It's $8.25 right now, and we're talking about raising it slowly until 2022, so we've got $1 a year. And the way we're designing it is also going to have a tax credit for small employers, for people with fewer than 50 employees, to help them ease the burden. So, you know, you'll hear that the business community is opposed to this, but it's not the business community at large. Most of the small business owners I know here in my district, they really want to pay their employees $15 an hour. And, you know, they think if they get a little help with their tax bill, they could probably manage it. But, you know, the people who are opposed to it are the enormous multinational corporations who, you know, thrive on paying their employees $8.25 an hour and then telling their employees, hey, look, that's not enough money to live on. So, you know, go get on food stamps, go get on Medicaid in order to get by. So they're, you know, passing the buck to the taxpayer so that they can enrich their own bottom line. And they want to keep taking advantage of the taxpayers of this state to pad their profits. Yeah. And that's why they're opposed.
Well, we'll pay attention to this, and we'd love to have you back on to talk about how this moves through the House and in Springfield. Representative Will Gazzardi represents the 39th District here in the Chicago area, Democrat. Thanks for joining us. We'll appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show. Great talking with you.